and all at once is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. So as we stand in that reminder, we recognize that life is flowing through each of us as each of us. And in doing that, it opens a doorway for each of us to be the purpose for the opportunity and the power for celebration. Your unique gifts, your unique expression of yourself, your unique understanding of who you are is an expression of the one in its uniqueness, in its oneness, in its power. Therefore, we celebrate you, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you do, whatever your self-awareness, whatever your pronouns are, all of those things, we recognize you and we celebrate you for who you are and for the choices you've made. So we are a community here that believes in oneness. We believe in the idea that there are not two powers out there in the universe, but only one. And that one is being used in many, many different ways that sometimes may appear to be two. However, we know there's only one. One energy, one power, one love, one law. To better understand who we are and what we teach, you can get a taste of that from our Declaration of Principles, which will be presented by some of our practitioners. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe
in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. People who are part of our organization who have been trained in how to use these ideas to help themselves heal and to assist others in healing. We began as a teaching healing ministry many, many years ago, about 100 years now, and we continue with that as our core, whether we're healing a conscious idea, whether we're working on healing a physical expression. So a practitioner is someone who is trained in that to do that work for themselves and for other people. So today we have one of our lead practitioners with us who's going to come and share some good ideas and some good words, as well as take us into a spiritual mind treatment. Judy Ailey, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is on? Okay, awesome. All right, well, good morning, everybody. And I'm glad to be here this morning in person with you here. And of course, I'm glad to be with those of you who are joining us online for our service. However you are here, we are so glad that you are joining us today and we welcome you. We are continuing this month in our discussion of the topic of nature. And my understanding is that today is focusing on embracing the good in all things. I personally love this topic. For me, nature, the natural world, is such an obvious expression of spirit. In this teaching, we frequently say, God is all there is, or God is everywhere, or it's all God. And of course, this includes nature. For me, God expressing through nature is so obvious. And for me, when I am in the natural world or in nature, it surrounds me, I feel the oneness and connection with all of life and with spirit. There is a oneness that we experience on the physical level with nature because we know that all creation, including all of us, springs from the same source. And the diversity of life, it's infinite, and it fills me with amazement. When I was thinking about what I was going to say this morning on the subject of nature, my mind, of course, went to gardening. I really enjoy gardening, and I see that somebody has brought some jalapeno peppers this morning from their garden. They really produce, don't they, when you plant those? Well, in recent years, gardening has kind of become my thing. It's a place that I can actually go and relax and rejuvenate myself. And, you know, earlier this month, before I even knew the topic for this month, I found myself going back and reading a book about the Findhorn Garden, that old garden. This is a book that was popular a number of years ago, like in the 60s and 70s. So that's like, but over 50 years ago. It dates me, but maybe some of you have heard of this. The Findhorn Garden is basically the story about three people who felt divinely guided to start a garden in the northern part of Scotland, in one of the most unlikely places to start such an endeavor. It's an amazing story about people putting complete and total trust into spirit to guide them as they created their lives with nature or with spirit. So without much financial means or possessions, they ended up growing a very productive and beautiful garden. And much of the story is about their divine guidance in how to grow various plants. They work in cooperation with nature and the nature spirits of the various plants that they grew. And they call them nature divas in this book. And as a result, the vegetables and other plants that they grew were fantastic. They were bigger and more beautiful than what had been traditionally grown in this inhospitable climate, where normally the growing season was short and it was a struggle to grow much of anything. But they followed divine guidance and worked in cooperation with nature and with spirit to create this garden. And as a result of this, a beautiful spiritual community grew. And eventually their focus became on growing and nurturing individuals through their co-creative guidance from nature and spirit. And it became a world-renowned spiritual community. So with those thoughts, I just ask us to ponder the idea of our oneness with nature or spirit and ask ourselves, what would we work with nature in a co-creative process to create for ourselves? I think nature or spirit or God, whatever word you want to use, is always, always there and waiting for us to recognize and align ourselves with it to co-create some kind of goodness in the world. So what is that goodness that spirit is just desiring to create through your life and through my life? So on that note, I want to now lead us in a spiritual mind treatment. So if you're at home or here in the room, just allow yourselves to be calm and centered and just take a couple of nice, slow, deep breaths. As I say these words in the first person for myself, please accept them for yourself. I just take a moment, I take this moment in time to recognize that there is only spirit, there is only nature, there is only God, and that this presence is all that there is. It permeates every single bit of life everywhere. I know that as I look outward into my world, all that I see is spirit, all that I see is God, and that I know as I look inward inside myself that this spirit is alive and well and guiding me and directing me. So I just allow myself to sink into this knowing that I am one with this power, one with nature, one with spirit, and that God is desiring to express through my world, through me. So as I know that, and I know my unity with spirit and with this presence of God, I know that all is well in my world. I know that this presence and power can accomplish all things in my life. So I just take this moment to know for myself the truth of who I am, that I am a divine spirit operating in the world, that the truth of me is vibrant aliveness and vibrant health. The truth of me, and I am grateful for all these truths of myself, that I am living a life of opulent abundance, that I am living a life of meaning and clarity, that I bring goodness to the world. So today I just take my desires and know that and claim that, yes, that they are fulfilled, that spirit always says yes, that I am divided and divinely led in every step of the way. It may not seem obvious to me in the moment, but I put my faith and my trust knowing that this presence only desires the very best for me. I turn away from any idea that I am alone, that I am being, that I'm victim to anything, that spirit is withholding from me. I turn away from any idea like that, or that there's a necessity of struggle and strain and difficulty. I turn away from all of that. Instead, I just look through the eyes of faith and clarity and know that the truth of me is that all is well and that all is unfolding perfectly in my life. So it's with a grateful heart that I offer this treatment and these words to all who are listening here and out in the internet and the ethers, and knowing that the world is expanding in the positive way, that spirit is expressing as we allow it to express in our lives. So I'm grateful for this. I release this treatment now, knowing that it is so, and so it is.
It's all good, or is it? Last night, the thunder woke me up, and it was the approaching storm that came rolling through parts of Atlanta. And I was happy to be awake because I was laying there about half awake anyway. And so I thought, well, I'll get up and move my plants off the porch and out into the yard so they'll get the natural rain and I won't have to water them tomorrow. So I did. I got up and I went to the door. And as I looked out through the glass door to my little porch area, the combination of the water droplets in the air and the street light, and there was this amazing spider web right outside, coming to the side, not really in front of the door, but off to the side. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, this thing was huge. It covered that whole side of my porch area. And I knew I've seen spiders out there before, so I wasn't concerned about it. I just saw it and went, wow, that's pretty cool. And proceeded to open the door and step right out. And as soon as I did, this spider swung down on her web and landed right here in my face. And she looked that big. She wasn't. She was only about that big. But in the middle of the night, half asleep, it was terrifying. And I thought, thank you, spirit. You're giving me something to talk about tomorrow because I didn't have an opener yet for this talk. Well, I didn't need that spider for an opener, but apparently I did. Because it reminded me so much of my history with spiders, which has not been pleasant. When I was a little kid, my grandmother's house was kind of wet. It's Florida, and you know, in Florida, we got every bug there is, and they all come in the house every chance they get. And these spiders would be on the wall behind the toilet in her bathroom. So to go in there and use that facility, you had to back up closer to the spiders than I ever wanted to be. These were big. They looked this big. Of course, I was seven, eight, nine, so they weren't. They were probably about that big. But you still, they showed up. As soon as you turned the light on, they looked like we scared them all, and they were those brown house spiders. They were completely harmless. They didn't do any harm to me. They were more scared of me than I was of them, although they didn't run away as fast as I wanted them to. So I kind of grew up with this kind of fear of spiders, and it stuck with me for a long time until I learned that spiders aren't so bad after all. You know, and we all have these creepy crawlies in our lives and in our experience that gets our attention and wakes us up. And it might be spiders. It might be some other kind of bug. For many people, it's snakes. And we even have justification for that because the Bible says it's okay to hate snakes. doesn't really, but that's the way that got interpreted down through the years, that old Adam and Eve and the snake thing, because, you know, the devil is a snake. It's also how we learn to hate rats, because we have hundreds of years of remembering in our DNA and in our consciousness of the Great Plague, which swept through Europe thanks to the rats. So we have people that, you know, are absolutely terrified of rats. The very thought or sight of one just sends you into apoplexy. So what about taking that idea that there are things in our world that just we don't embrace as good in any way, shape, or form, and moving that into the metaphysical idea or the idea of thought and consciousness, and ask you, are there also creepy crawlies in consciousness that perhaps have you wanting to run back in the house real fast when things show up? I have some. I suspect you do too. I ask some folks and then I got distracted, but I asked the people here, what are some of those creepy crawlies that show up for you? And I got one card back that says issues with health, especially when it involves someone I care about and love. And the creepy crawly shows up in my consciousness all about, are they okay? What's going to happen? And on it goes. And it takes away the energy of joy of the everyday life that we have. There's some other creepy crawlies, and I'll come back to that one, but that I also want to talk about. I think a creepy crawly that people have that they aren't always aware. It's kind of like roaches in your house. If you have roaches, you're in the South, if you have any roaches, you don't know they're there unless you get up in the dark and turn the light on really fast, and then they all scurry away. We have some creepy crawlies in consciousness that are there all the time, but they may not show up until we suddenly shine a light on them. Things like choice. What do you mean choice? I love the fact that I have choice. And most people love having choice. We talk all the time about we choose our lives and we make choices that direct us and tell us where to go and help us choose things. And we move forward and we have all that freedom that goes with it. And yet, do we? Or is choice something that we don't like to have too much of the time? Because and when you look at how people live, we set up patterns that we can count on. I don't get up in the morning and choose whether I'm going to have a cup of coffee or not. My choice is made. My pot is waiting for me, and the brand I like is waiting for me, and everything is said. If I had to choose every morning what I'm going to have for coffee or how I'll start my day, it'd take a lot more effort and work. So we set up our lives where we make a choice, and then we count on those choices to self-perpetuate and just keep going. But I would suggest to you that there's a creepy crawly element to that we may not be happy with that invites us to choose differently again and again and again. And sometimes that can be terrifying. I had a sabbatical several years ago that you guys have heard me talk about before, where I had great complete freedom and choice. It did come down to getting up in the morning and deciding not only what am I going to have for breakfast, what am I going to eat the rest of the day, and where am I going to go, and how am I going to live today? Because I had total freedom. I was in my car. My daughter joked about me being homeless. I wasn't really homeless. I had a home. But I was living for several months on the road, going from place to place where I was doing workshops and things. But in the between times, I had no plan, and I loved it because the idea was, if spirit is real, and if this is a real thing, then I can learn to hear that voice and follow it into my next greatest experience, whatever that might be. And shortly into that trip, I was camping out in the Four Corners region on an Indian reservation. Not sure I was really supposed to be there, but I was there, and I suddenly realized that I had all the choice in the world. I could choose to stay I could get up the next morning and choose to go somewhere else. I could choose to enjoy my evening by journaling and writing or singing and dancing because nobody could see me, or do whatever I wanted to do. You know what followed that idea so fast? It was amazing. Absolute terror. Because you see, we're told we can choose, and we believe that in our teaching, that choosing is what life is all about. But at that point in my life, I still had enough leftover idea that if I made the wrong choice, something bad would happen to me or somebody else. Or maybe my car that had no business being up on top of the butte that I had driven it up on top of, that barely made it up over the rocks and things, wouldn't make it back down. Or maybe I'd made a wrong choice by staying up or by having this great, had a bonfire outside of my tent. It was this great big bonfire that I thought, oh, goodness, all these people, these Indians on this reservation are going to see it and they're going to come after me because I'm not supposed to be here. And I'd heard horror stories about that. And all of a sudden I got scared. So those creepy crawlies were coming into consciousness. So right behind choice came fear. Right behind the idea of freedom came fear. You know, freedom is something we have to do. We have to be active in it. Freedom's a verb. You can sit here all day and talk about how much freedom we have, but if you don't do anything with it, you kind of don't have it. It's just a possibility. It's a potential. So what does all that have to do with anything? It has this to do. And that is the idea that once we get clearer about, once we begin to feel those fears, they will guide us back to the truth. Because I sat through that and I meditated and I treated and I put more wood on the fire. And I stayed with it, and I let the fear roll through me. And then I began to hear the voice in my head that reminded me that said, Spirit always says yes. When you know what you love and you choose what you love, Spirit says yes. Now, sometimes we choose something we don't quite love, and Spirit still says yes, because that part of Spirit is law, and law says yes to whatever you choose in your heart of hearts, in the depth of your knowing. So if you choose things that are basically fear-driven, or maybe fear-modified, that choice gets a yes as well, and it comes with the fear attached to it. Now, I am not saying that everybody has to start every day brand new as if you never happened before. I'm not giving up my coffee. But it does mean that we have the chance to recognize that if we were to choose differently, if that creepy crawly choice of fear or choice that we become fearful about, if we fully embrace our freedom to use it, then it ceases to be a creepy crawly. When we know that if I choose this direction or that direction or this way of being or that way of being, then my choice guides me to a spiritual yes, which indeed guides me to my next greatest thing. And my time there on that mountain was amazing and wonderful, and I stayed until I ran out of water. And I decided I had two choices. I could hike down to the creek down at the bottom of the butte and get some water and then boil it and then use it. Or I could drive the 5 miles back to the last gas station and buy some. So I made that choice. And as I got back down off the butte and off out of that section, I realized my time there was done. And I said, what next? And the thought went through my head, Grand Canyon. You're only 20 miles from there, and it's early enough to get there before dark. And off I went. The next best thing, the next good thing, is always right there with the yes, right there behind the yes, right there ready to go. One of the things that I think really can sneak up on us are those things that we're fearful of and we don't even know because we've built our lives so that we don't see them sometimes. Perhaps you're afraid of your own anger, and so you always make sure you're not around any kind of anger that will explode. I don't like my anger. It shows up sometimes. But when I recently was in Florida and was chatting with some people, I ran into some furious levels of rage in folks I had never experienced up close and personal. I had seen it. And I have to say there were a couple of moments there where the fear kicked in for me that not afraid of them, but afraid of my response to them. That I would get right up in their faces like they were getting up in my face about politics and the world and all sorts of things that we were talking, we were talking about that I didn't want to be talking about, and I couldn't figure out a way to get out of it kindly. So finally I just said, I got to go, and walked away. And walked away and took care of myself in the process. But I'm glad I did, because my fear was giving me a signal that something was happening here that could get out of hand. Fear's not a bad thing. Fear guides us to our next higher good. Now, when it becomes so huge that it's, you know, it totally incapacitates us, yes, then we need to learn something different. But when it's just a creepy crawly that shows up and says, oh, maybe this isn't safe. Maybe this isn't for you. Maybe this isn't what you need to do. Then listen. Now, I told you that my experience with spiders has grown and changed over the years. In the 90s, when I lived here in Atlanta, I met some folks who were involved with Native American spirituality, and I got really involved with that for a while, because my idea of spirituality is to learn all I can from anywhere I can, and I did. So I was working with a wonderful gentleman named, his Indian name translated meant walking crow, and we did some sweat lodges. And in the second one, he started rattling a rattle, and there were a bunch of us in the sweat lodge. He started rattling a rattle, and all of a sudden, all over the inside, and maybe it was a group hallucination, we all agreed we saw them, maybe they were physical, but as he rattled and chanted, spiders showed up all over the inside of that sweat lodge, crawling up and down, crawling all over us. And he said, you know, stay calm, don't be afraid. These spiders are grandmother spirits, and they're bringing health and healing. I had the forethought to sit still, even though I have to tell you that I wanted to run screaming out of there because they were all over me. But the more they crawled, the more I felt loved, and the more I felt okay, and the more comfortable it was. And the person sitting next to me kind of leaned over and passed out. And I went, oh dear, he really went out, because it was really hot. It's one of those really hot things, you know, they do it, they get you hot and they sweat and you hallucinate and do all sorts of things. But if it was, like I said, we all hallucinated the same thing thanks to the song and whatever, if it was a hallucination. But the spiders were crawling and they were all over us. And then he ended the chant, hit the drum once, and they disappeared. And along with that went my fear of spiders. So even though when I stepped out the door and was startled by that spider in my face, I was quickly over that and simply held up the part of her web and put her over on the door frame so she'd be safe. And I went back to the rest of my plan to put the plants out. The other thing I learned that day with that spider energy is it is all about intention and belief. Because we all came out of that feeling absolutely refreshed, alive, and full of energy, except the one young man sitting next to me who'd passed out. And we had to carry him out. And so we're sitting him up, and we're rubbing his back, and we're trying to get him revived, and he's breathing okay, and that kind of stuff. And suddenly, a spider came out of the grass from right behind him, ran right up his spine, right over the top of his head and his nose and down the front, and disappeared. And as soon as it disappeared back into the grass, he woke up. Now, those are magical, wonderful stories. They can only happen because of the consciousness of the people involved being raised to a level to experience and see that. You get to decide whether it was real or not, whether those were physical or not. I know that sitting there, it sure looked real. And as soon as it was done, he was awake. And grandfather, we talked to him about what he had experienced, and he just felt himself sink into the earth and disappear. And then he was pulled back out by a spider. So consciousness is an amazing thing. We are just cracking the surface of what consciousness can do and what consciousness knows about for us as human beings. So these creepy crawlies that we experience in nature are really there to push us beyond our limits, to push us beyond those comfortable places we have been so far, to guide us into a higher, bigger, greater way of speaking and knowing and believing. Back to the fear of health, the fear around health. You know, we get so caught up in what the doctor says, what the diagnosis says, how things are going to turn out based on that, that sometimes we forget there are other elements involved. I remember well my teacher saying that when the doctor tells you this has gone as far as it can or it's incurable, all the doctor is telling you is their limited knowledge. They're not telling you about anything about your ability to heal. And I have so many stories that support that. I had a dear friend, and before I was ever in this teaching, back as a Baptist minister, she was in my center, and her son, she worked in an emergency room at a hospital. Her son was brought in, having been in a horrible car wreck. His head was distorted because the bones were broken, and his jaw was broken, and his face was squished. And they immediately started to work on him. She was there in the emergency room when he was brought in. And they started with the life support, and they started with all these other things. She said, no, you're not going to put my son on a respirator. You're not going to do any of those things. If it is his time to go, he will go. If he can live, then he will live on his own terms. And then she began praying, and she called all of us and all of her prayer group, and we started praying and visualizing and imagining him return to perfect health. And I'm here to tell you that when he returned to perfect health, his head looked a little funny. He had a great sense of humor about it. His speech was sometimes a bit of a problem, but his spirit was huge. His love, his capacity to care, his capacity of love for others and his mother and his whole family. She said, in retrospect, it was the hardest thing she ever did. Can you imagine? Say, don't do this for my son? When all the science said we should. But her faith knew that if they started that, it would be the rest of his life. And she didn't want that for him. She fully believed that he could restore himself through the magic, through the ordinary everydayness of nature. We know now that the brain restores itself. The brain creates. We used to say, you know, once you got all the brain cells you'll ever have, and now they start to die. Well, that's just not true. We know that now. The brain restores itself. The brain builds newness. We also know that other parts of the body can restore and rearrange what their function is. The brain can do that. What has always been the right, left side. If there's an injury, another part of the brain will pick up what the other part can't do anymore. And yet we are caught in those creepy crawlies that tell us that we're limited by what someone else says, that we're limited by what we thought we understood. We talked a few weeks ago that, you know, today's magic is tomorrow's science. We are learning more and more how this body is such an amazing array of creepy crawlies. Thousands of creepy crawlies, billions of creepy crawlies keep your body working and working beautifully. Thank God we don't have microscopes to look at it, because we'd be grossed out. And yet the truth is, those appearing creepy crawlies are all good, because they are making everything work in our system. And if we don't have them, or if we poison them, or if we do certain things that would limit them, we have to find ways to restore them, and we do that. See, the truth is, and the bottom line is, there is only good. It's all good. And that means your life is unfolding perfectly according to its greatest good. It also means that this physical life is only one part of it. Just like who you are as a person is only partly contained right here in this physical form. There's a consciousness that you live and move and walk in that is bigger than that, so much bigger than that. And you know it when you meditate. You know it when you get quiet and you can sense and feel the parts of you that are bigger than where you are right now. When you meditate and you're back to being a teenager again and you feel all of that energy and life flowing through you and you know that that's still alive and well in you. Or when you project into the future your aging process and where it will become and where it will go. And you stop all those creepy crawlies that tell you that just because you're older, you're less than. That's a nasty, creepy crawly that's been going on in our culture. We are teaching people after a certain age, you're supposed to just start to fall apart, and it's okay, and you should. And if you're not, then you're not doing it right. And that's just not true. Look at 70 and 80-year-olds today compared to 20, 30, 40 years ago. We are living very different lives than our grandparents, only because they just didn't know yet that they could do that, that they could carry on with a kind of vitality. And they got tired. And they let those creepy crawlies take word in them, rather than using them to catapult themselves into a greater knowing, into a greater expression of life. So whatever the creepy crawlies are that are bugging you, however those bugs show up, I invite you to don't get out the bug spray. Don't stomp them. Embrace them. And find out what they're there to teach you. Find out what they're there to show you. If you had creepy crawlies watching the screen this morning in that opening song, which showed some pretty amazing things happening with the earth that are pretty uncomfortable, some of them. But if that sparks something in you to say, that's a creepy crawly, I don't want to continue to see happening, then this is your chance now to put your heart, your soul, your action, your thought, your money, whatever, behind that cause that will change it. See what the creepy crawlies are telling you. See what the fear is telling you. See what the oh my gods are telling you. Because it's the message of moving you toward a greater expression of yourself. Because you are wonderful, so am I, and so it is. Thank you. So now let's hear from Vance about some other things going on.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Awesome talk. It was funny, he was talking about spiders this morning, and there was one over by the board when I first came in this morning. I'm like, you can just hang out there, it'd be fine. So this teaching is so amazing, what we can learn and do and be in our lives. And with that, we share this message around the world, and I'd like to do our affirmation of prosperity. And you can donate at www.cslmidtown.org or click on the QR code and it will take you right to the donation site. You can do a one-time donation or set up an ongoing donation. So if you'll read with me, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Back to Dr. Bob for announcements.
All right. I don't have a lot of announcements. Most of them you probably already know about. We have a meeting on Tuesdays at noon, which is basically a prayer request, a time to discuss kind of what's going on in your life and what your request is for greater expression, greater truth, greater freedom. And it's online. It's on our Zoom meeting site, which is the one that we use for everything. We also have coming up in September, I'm excited to tell you that I'll be teaching a class called The Everyday Mystic. Now, that may sound wacky and woo-woo to you, and if it does, then I invite you to come to the class to get over it, because it's not. This is an opportunity to look at this whole thing of mysticism, which has been so mysterious and so magical and so strange, and really take a look at how is that functioning in your life and my life right now. And is there a way for you and I on a day-to-day basis to feel that sense of guidance and direction and know that, yeah, this is the best yes for me. This is the best choice for me today. This is the brand of coffee, whatever the guidance is you're looking for. And instead of learning about mysticism, this is not going to be a class to teach you about the history of mysticism because it's very ancient. It's been around as long as humans have been around. However, it's a class on practicing and finding your own everyday mystical practice that allows you to live more freely and to live more openly. So I really encourage you to consider it. Next week, we'll have some more information up about how to sign up. But right now, you can go to our website, cslmidtown.org, and do that and register. And we've already got some folks registered for it. So I'm looking forward to this to be a great adventure in truth and in knowing. Okay, so here's the bottom line, the finish line. That is our closing affirmation, which I know and truly believe is what is true for me. And I'm counting on it being true for you as well. So if you'd like to join me in reading it aloud, here it is. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. Give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. Thank you all very much for being here. See you next time. Oh, next week, Cynthia will be speaking. Too late. Anyway, she'll be here for those who are in the room, and will be speaking. I will be speaking to the community in Louisville, Kentucky.